إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Today inshallah we'll be reading from the fifth hadith of Al-Arabawun of Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. Al-Hadith al-Khamis. In it, it said that an Ummi al-Mu'mineen Ummi Abdullah Aisha radiyallahu anha qalat qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam man ahdath fi amrina hadha ما ليس منه فهو رد. رواه البخاري ومسلم. وفي رواية لمسلم من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. It said that عن أم المؤمنين أم عبد الله عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. رواه البخاري ومسلم. وفي رواية لمسلم من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. الإمام الحافظ أبو زكريا شرف الدين النووي عليه رحمة الله he mentioned quoting the hadith straight from the companion who reported the hadith. This time the companion who reported the hadith is female and from the mothers of the believers رضي الله عنها. So he said عن أم المؤمنين أم عبد الله. This hadith is from أم المؤمنين the mother of the believers أم عبد الله. She is also أم عبد الله. We'll come back to it inshallah. عائشة رضي الله عنها the one who is أم المؤمنين the one who is أم عبد الله her name is عائشة رضي الله عنها. She is the one who reported this hadith. قالت, she said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا. Anyone who starts something new, who brings something new, أحدثه. Someone who brings something new into this our religion, into this affair of ours. Anyone who brings something new into this affair of ours, ma laysa minhu, that thing is not from it. It says, عليه الصلاة والسلام هو رد that thing that has been brought, that new thing that is not from our religion, that is not from our affairs, that has been brought into the affairs. فهو رد, that is فهو مرجود, that thing is rejected. This hadith رواه البخاري ومسلم. الإمام الحافظ أبو عبد الله البخاري عليه رحمة الله عن الإمام مسلم أبو الحسين they have both reported the hadith. He said وفي رواية لمسلم in a report or in one of the reports or in another wording which is reported by Al-Imam Muslim, he said, من عمل عملا, anyone who does any work, anyone, من عمل عملا, anyone who does any work, ليس عليه أمرنا, that work that he does not have authority from us, does not have ruin from us. ليس عليه أمرنا, we have not given him right to do it. He says عليه الصلاة والسلام فهو رد, it will be rejected because it has no basis. The basis, the reason why it will not, it should not be rejected is that it should have authority from us, but because it does not have authority from us, he said عليه الصلاة والسلام, he says فهو رد. That action, or that statement, or that belief is mabdood, is rejected. It will not be taken from the one who has put it forth, thinking that he or she wants to please Allah thereby. So this hadith, like we said, is reported by Ummul Mu'mineen. Ummahatul Mu'mineen are the wives of Allah's Messenger رضي الله عنهن. Before he died عليه الصلاة والسلام, in all he had about 11 wives عليه الصلاة والسلام, and this is for him alone, it is not meant for any other than Allah's Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام. So he had, he is permitted by his Lord for so many reasons, but the best of which is best known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given him the permission, the chance, the right to marry more than four wives as against the rest of the Muslims. All the rest of the Muslims, nobody can have four wives at the same time, more than four wives at the same time. So the Prophet had 11 wives, radiallahu anhunna. The first of them was Khadija bint Khuwaylid, radiallahu anha. He married her, and she was the first person that he married, alayhi salatu wasalam. So she is also Ummul Mu'mineen. She's also Ummul Mu'mineen because the verse that covers those that he married after she had died used a word that makes us understand that it also covers her, because she's also entitled as a wife of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. It said النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is more preferable to the Muslims than themselves. The Muslims, the companions, they prefer the Prophet to themselves. They love the Prophet Muhammad more than themselves. They prefer to die than that he died. They prefer to be wounded than that he is wounded. They prefer that anything negative comes to them than that it should come to the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. There is a proverb in one of the tribes in Nigeria that if the fire burns the child and burns the father removes its own first before it removes that of the child. It is not like that to the companions and the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Even when he is not the one who gave birth to them, like Allah said, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَى أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is not the father of any of you, yet they preferred him عليه الصلاة والسلام. They preferred the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to themselves. So the verse went forth and said, "Wa azwajuhu ummahatuhu," and his wives are their mothers. So it meant that even when Khadija radiallahu anha had died, because this verse is in Surah Al-Ahzab, and what is most authentic regarding Surah Al-Ahzab, Allahu A'lam, is that the chapter was revealed around the same time or in Tawun with Surah Al-Nur. Surah Al-Ahzab and Surah Al-Nur, they are revealed in Tawun. There are many evidences for that. One of those is that you see that their messages are very similar and in tone. Messages of hijab, messages of istighzan, messages of jail, tifu, marriage, and all these. The message of issues relating to the kuffar, the munafiqun, their dealings with the Muslims, and the Muslim women, and all these. You see, those rulings are in tone from Surah Al-Ahzab and Surah Al-Nur. They appear to have been revealed between the 6th year of hijrah and the 8th year of hijrah. Both chapters. So even when Khadija radiallahu anha had died earlier before hijrah, radiallahu anha, she said to have been dead about 3 years before the hijrah, after the first 10 years of the messengership of the Prophet Muhammad. She died, radiallahu anha, after giving a lot of support for 10 years. And she gave birth to many of the children of the Prophet Muhammad. So the fact that she had died before this verse, almost about 9 years or thereabouts before this surah was revealed, because of the fact that she's the wife of the messenger, and the verse said, "Wa azwajuhu," for here means zawjatihi, means azwajuhi. So it implies that she is under the verse too. So the first of them, the first is ummahatul mu'minin, was Khadija bint Khuwaylid, radiallahu anha. And the second of them, from the most authentic, from what the scholars have said, alayhim rahmatullah, was Aisha radiallahu anha. The Prophet had married Aisha before he married Sauda. He had married Aisha radiallahu anha before he married Sauda radiallahu anha. He had contracted the marriage with Aisha. You know, Aisha radiallahu anha was married by the Prophet when she was 6 years old. 6 years old. It is reported in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, the Prophet married Aisha radiallahu anha. There's a report in Sahih Muslim that he married her while she was 7 years old, but there is no conflict. He married her when she was 6 years old and 10 months. 6 years, 10 months, because the marriage took place in Shawwal, according to Aisha radiallahu anha. So the Prophet married her in Shawwal. She was 6 years old and 10 months at the time. So those who report the years alone, they reported 6 years. Those who reported close to the next year, they reported 7 years. So that's why I say in some reports it's 6 years. In some reports it's 7 years. So whichever one you decide to take. But also, when she was 9 years old, the Prophet consummated the marriage with her, radiallahu anha. That was the 4th year of Hijrah, after the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr took place in the month of Ramadan. The Shawwal that followed that month of Ramadan was the month that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had Aisha in his house. So for about 4 or 5 years, about 3 years, the Prophet had married Aisha, but Aisha had not come into his house. But Sauda radiallahu anha had been married, so she came in. So the first woman to come into the house of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, after Khadija bint Khuwaylid, was Sauda. But the first one he married after Khadija bint Khuwaylid was who? Aisha. So they are all Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the rest of them, the two Zainab bint Jahash and Zainab, the other Zainab after Zainab bint Jahash, this Maimuna, this Safiya bint Suhayyin, this Juwayriya, and all the rest of them. Radiallahu anhunna. So one of these people was the one who reported the hadith, and that was Aisha radiallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anha.
Aisha radiallahu anha is also called Siddiqa, bint Siddiq. The one who is truthful with Iman, the daughter of the one who is truthful with Iman. The one who is truthful with Iman, the daughter of the one who is truthful with Iman. So sometimes she's called Al-Habiba, bint Habib. The beloved one of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. The daughter of the beloved one of the Messenger. He was Abu Bakr Siddiq. Someone came to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, man abu nas ilayhi. Who is the best, most beloved of the people to you? He said, Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, Aisha. He said, min al-rijal, abuha. Who is the one most beloved? Aisha. From men, her father. So she is beloved, the daughter of the beloved. Radiallahu anha. So she was born into Islam. She never knew other than Islam. Like she said, radiallahu anha. And look at the Messenger, alayhi salatu wa salam, from the hikam of marrying Aisha, radiallahu anha. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Aisha. Abu Bakr was his friend, radiallahu anhu. So marriage to Aisha brought them closer. It also afforded opportunity, easily they could relate because there's no marriage. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had Abu Bakr as the best person after him in the Ummah. So they are close. And so he married Hafsa to radiallahu anha. He didn't mention her when we were counting the women. Hafsa, the elder sister of Umar radiallahu anha, Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar. He married her radiallahu anha. He married her to their closeness. So Umar became the second Khalifa after the Prophet. After Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anha. That was how the Prophet connected. And the third person, the third Khalifa was Uthman. Uthman didn't have a daughter who was big enough, so he said, okay, I give you my own daughter. So he connected Uthman too. So when Fatima radiallahu anha grew up, he said, okay, Ali, you keep this one. So he connected himself with the four Khulafa, alayhi salatu wasalam. So it was not something that was just going. And you know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha stayed with him for 9 years. She came into his house when she was 9. And she lived with him for another 9 years because she said the Prophet she came into his house when she was 9 years old. And the Prophet died when she was 18 years old. She died in the 58th year of Hijrah. 14 years after the Prophet died. And she was the most learned of human beings at the time from amongst the females. And those who were her equals amongst the men were few. So it meant that she lived being taught by the Messenger for 9 years, learning under the best of teachers at a time when a woman is not formed at all. At 9, no woman is formed. No personality is attained by her or any other. So for 9 years, over the period of 9 years, he formed her, educated her, and made her what she is. Made her a career of the knowledge of Islam over 4 decades. So it was easy for her. She lived 40 years. So when anything became a problem, the people will come to her. Aisha radiallahu anha, what to do today at the time of the Prophet Sufan? When the Shia came and started to say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told a secret to Ali before he died, on the day that he died, he said it was a lie. I swear by Allah, he died between my neck and my chest. He did not say anything to anybody, it was a lie. So if all the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were old people, we are aged people, we are grown-up people, I could probably have died earlier than Aisha, radiallahu anha. He perhaps could not have had the robust intellectual, the soundness of the intellect of Aisha. It's a young girl, growing up. So there are a lot of wisdom in the Prophet's marriage to her. At that age, there are a lot of benefits in it. She is from Ummahatul Mu'min. رضي الله عنه. Very learned. She will correct companions, she will do Quran, she will teach people hadith, she will teach people fiqh. She will teach people what was happening in the days of Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic times. She will ask her question, did Arab used to do so? She will explain. How did Arab used to marry? She reported a hadith. Maybe they have 5 ways Arabs married before Islam came. She will tell him, she was close to the Prophet, this is her father Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. She was within the Ummah. So she was a great carrier of the knowledge of Islam. So she's from the mothers of the believers. So when we say Ummahatul Mu'minin, in the Sharia, what does it mean? The mothers of the believers. Didn't Allah say to us in Surah Al-Mujadala also that in Ummahatuhum illa la'i waladinahum, that those who are their mothers are those who give birth to them. I think we mentioned this, sir. The ones who give birth to people are their mothers. Why do we say they are Ummahatul Mu'minin when they did not give birth to all the Muslims? Firstly, we see we pick up evidence from the Quran. The Quran says, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُ. Khalas. If we don't have any evidence, we say, oh, this one, Allah says, أُمَّهَاتُهُ. They are their mothers. But in terms of what? In terms of that they give birth to them, we say no. Because it is clear that they didn't give birth to all the Muslims. But in terms of what? In what other way can somebody be a mother of the other person? In terms of honor and respect. In terms of honor, respect, they are our mothers. So we honor them, we respect them. You know, someone cannot marry the daughter of his mother, which will be his sister. So we marry their daughters. The Muslims marry the daughters of the Prophet's wife. So that means that the motherhood is not respect to that also. We understand. So the motherhood that they have over us is the motherhood of honor and respect. We honor them as we honor our parents. We respect them as we respect our mothers. Of course, you know, from both parents, the one who deserves the greatest of honor and respect is who? The mother. We honor them the more, we respect them the more. Radiallahu anhu. So she's from the mothers of the believers. And that's why it does not defeat the Shia when they accuse Aisha of prostitution. They accuse their mother of prostitution. If they say to them that, but Allah says she's your mother, they say no. At the time Allah said that, Allah did not know that she will commit prostitution. They said that. But there are some things, I think we've mentioned this several times. She has said that there are some things Allah says. At the time he said the subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not know A'udhu. So it was when those things happened in Ami that, yes, so this thing could have happened. How stupid they are. We ask Allah to save us from this evil attitude. So the mothers of the believers are their mothers in terms of honor and respect and esteem, reverence for them. But in terms of hijab, you know, a man can go into his mother even when she's not wearing a face veil. But for them, the motherhood does not extend to that. Rather, what Allah said is that, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحِجَابِ. When you ask these women regarding anima, ask them from behind the veil. So the fact that he said that they are our mothers doesn't mean that enter into them as you would enter into your mother. Give birth to you. So the motherhood of the wives of Allah's Messenger is motherhood that is connected with honor, with respect, with reverence, esteem for them. Radiallahu anhu. And that we honor them and respect them is from honor and respect for the Prophet of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, because they are his wives. Radiallahu anhu. Except that this Ummul Mu'mineen, he said, an Ummul Mu'mineen, Ummi Abdullah. Which of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen? He said there are 11. So when he said, an Ummul Mu'mineen, from the mother of the believers, which one? So he brought for us an artful bayan. He said, Ummul Mu'mineen. Which one of them? Ummu Abdullah. There is none of them that's Ummu Abdullah. except Aisha radiallahu anha. So we know which one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen that reported the hadith. That was who?
Umm Abdullah.
That's her kunya. You know, she took the kunya after Abdullah, the son of her sister, Asma. Asma radiallahu anha gave birth to Abdullah. The ulama say when the Prophet migrated alayhi salatu wasalam, it took some time before the Muslims gave birth to each other. So the Jews started to say, it's finished. You will never born picking for you. No picking for you, no child for you. You will not give birth to any child here. So it's that kind of bad woman for you. You better go back to your mom. So they gave birth to Abdullah. So he is a child of joy for the whole of the Ummah at the time. Yes. He got born picking no. So the child was Abdullah. So the child was brought to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He named him Abdullah and he made tahniq for him. Tahniq, that is chewing dates. And when the sweetness begins to appear on the tongue, it is placed inside the lower, in the palate, the lower part of the jaw. Inside it, the Prophet did that for Abdullah Alayhi Wasallam. He did that for Abdullah ibn Zubayr. You know, the husband of Asma was Zubair ibn Awwam, one of those who was told, giving the black evidence of Al-Jannah from this dunya by the Prophet Muhammad. And it's from the Sikhs that Umar radiallahu anhu appointed to appoint a leader for the Muslims, and they came out with Uthman bin Affan. It's from the most eminent among the companions of Allah the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdullah ibn Zubair was born. So he lived with Aisha radiallahu anha, his aunt, in the household of the Messenger of Allah. So everybody had kunyas, but her, I mean Aisha. She complained to the Prophet, everybody's having kunya, everybody's Abu something or Umu something. What is my own now? You know, she's a young girl. So every of her attitude, questions, interactions with the Prophet indicated her age and her intellectual opulence. So she asked, where is my own? She take the kunya after your son. And she took the kunya after Abdullah. But for her, she never had a child. Aisha radiallahu anha, as popular, as prominent, as most honored, as most esteemed as she is, radiallahu anha, Allah did not decree a child for her, and he did not reduce her in anything. Because it is subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Yahabu liman yasha'u inasa, wa yahabu liman yasha'u dhukur, wa yuzawijuhum dhukrana wa inasa. It says, wa yaj'alu man yasha'u aqima. Anybody he likes, he will not give him anyone. So he gives them children, so he gives them males, so he mixes them between males. He's a wijhum zukran wa inata. He combines for them between male and female. Wa yaj'alu man yasha'u aqim. So who he likes, he makes them not to have children. There are many scholars in Islam who did not have any children. Like Imam Al-Qama. He did not have a child. One of the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And many others. He did not have any children. Radiallahu anhu. So she is Umm Abdullah. So just ask, who is this Abdullah, the daughter of Aisha? Did Aisha give birth to a child? She did not give birth to a child. But she took the kunya after the child of her sister, Asma, whose name is what? Abdullah. So she took the kunya from him. Radiallahu anhu. Then her name is Aisha. A lot of Aksul Bayan. The first Aksul Bayan, Umm Abdullah. The second one, Aisha. So, Ummul Mu'mineen is Umm Abdullah, is Aisha, radiallahu anha. So may Allah be pleased with her, radiallahu anha. She died in Medina, and Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, prayed on her. It was Abu Huraira who led the salah for her janazah when she died, when Aisha died, radiallahu anha. So she said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. There are so many things about Aisha. We can go on talking about her, رضي الله عنها, but I think that suffices.
for us to go on with the hadith of Umar. She said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah's Messenger, عليه الصلاة والسلام, said, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. It says, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا. Anyone, any person. Man, any person, anyone, anybody, ahdasa fi amrina, who introduces, he brings into our affairs. What affair is that? And Imam Ibn Hajar al-Haytami, he brought a riwayah, but he didn't make the house of the riwayah. And I tried to look for it, but I didn't get it. That it said, man ahdasa fi dinina hadha. So that for this will be riwayatun musarriha. Yani riwayatun mufassira, musarraha. It will be a riwayah mufassira that will explain this amr. That the amr refers to what? Deen. So man ahdasa fi dinina hadha. So it says, man ahdasa fi amrina, anyone who brings into this our religion, he does not describe what he brings. So it says, ma laysa minhu. So ulama say, naam, this ma is the maf'ulun bihi. For what? Ahdasa. Man ahdasa ma laysa minhu. Man ahdasa. Ma is ismul mawsul ko. You need to say it. But it is standing here like what? A mafkul bihi. Fi mahalin bast. So it is man ahdasa ma laysa min. Fi amrina is talking about some better explanations for his innovation, his what he has introduced. So but what connects the subject and the object in the sentence is man ahdasa, anyone who brings into this religion, this deen, what does he bring? Ma laysa minhu. So something that is not from it. Anything that is not from it. Ma laysa minhu. All of what someone brings that is not from the deen of Warad, it will be rejected. So if someone brings something, please let us be making tahajjud. Allah likes tahajjud, yes, Allah likes tahajjud. Let's be making it every Friday. We just ask. Hada mean who? Is it from it? You know what it will mean? If it is from it, we just say, tell us where it is. Is it in the Quran? Is it in the Sunnah? Is it from the Ijma of the Sahaba? Tell us, where is it? So that we know that it is minhu and it is not ma laysa minhu. It is not from those matters that is not from the religion. Anybody brings anything anybody brings and calls it Islam, it must be minhu. If it is not minhu, warad. That matter will be rejected. So this hadith was reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim alayhim rahmatullah. The second wording of the hadith, which was brought by Imam Muslim, it says, man amila amalan, anyone who does any work in Mecca. Man amila amalan. So this amalan is not tawkid. That yes, the person actually did a work. Because it's obviously it comes in mahal al-nasb. This amalan is not also maful mutlak. To tell us the kind of work that it is. But it is maful bihi mansur. It has taken amalan because it is the object. It is what the amal came upon. So man amila amalan, man amila shay'an, anyone who does anything, know that thing, so that you don't say, ah, is it everything that I do? He now wants to tell us, what thing are those? What things are those? He says, laysa alayhi amruna, sifa. So what describes that amalan object is, that object, laysa alayhi amruna, it does not have our authority. We have not given you authority to do it. He says, fahuarad. Anybody who does that, that action will be rejected. Anyone who does any action, amalan, any action, laysa alayhi amruna, that we have not given authority to, our authority does not cover it, does not have a right from us, it does not have a sanction from us, for who are that action will be rejected. They said alayhi salatu wasalam, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna, anybody who does any act that does not have our sanction, that action will be rejected. The first benefit of this hadith, Allahu A'lam, is that the deen is complete. Kamal al-Sharia wa kifayatuha, that this Sharia is complete. So it's saying, don't bring another one, don't bring anything to it. Okay. If you bring anything that we have that's not from it, it will not be taken. So this hadith indicates that the deen is complete. Like Allah said in the Quran, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islama deenan. Look at it. He says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Today, I have completed your deen for you. So that's why he's now saying, man ahdasa, anyone who now brings another one, no, listen, that is not from the completed one, it will not be rejected, it will not be accepted. Because Islam is complete. He says, akmaltu lakum deenakum, I have completed your deen for you. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and I have perfected my mercy upon you. Wa raditu lakum al-islam deena, and I'm pleased with Islam for you as your deen, your religion. So this verse from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us understand that Islam is perfect. Islam is complete. No new thing again. No new thing in Islam. Like no new thing. I'm going to say, Islam is dynamizing. It's not dynamizing to anywhere. You can be dynamizing, but it's complete. Islam is complete. So if you want to say anything is from Islam, just tell us where it is. In the Quran, or in the Sunnah, or in the way of the companions. I'm sure if we say here now that in the way of the companions, we will not be surprised. Usul Sunnah imana at-tamassuk bima kana alayhi ashab rasul. We know all that, inshallah. So if it is not Quran, it is not Sunnah, it is not from what the companions were upon, it can never be Islam. Because Allah says Islam is complete and perfect. Perfect in the sense that it can never be as perfect as it is at the time of the revelation of this verse. It made Abu Bakr al Siddiq to cry when this verse was revealed. He shed some tears. So the deen is perfect now. But many of the Muslims were happy. But he shed those tears because, yes, anything that is perfect now, what begins to happen to it? That is one. But from the fourth thing about that is the death of Allah's messenger, because he came for the deen. He came to preach Islam. So if Islam is complete, what does that mean? He has finished his message, he's going. So Siddiq radiallahu anhu shed tears. So that was why the day they were now shedding tears, he wasn't shedding tears again. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا وَالْمَاتَ وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ إِلَهَ مُحَمَّدٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. Because he had understood it, but Allah had told them in a way that the Prophet has finished his assignment, he's going. So when people started crying, some people were saying, anybody who says that God has died, I will come out to say, he just push them away. Went on the member and said, you are not. Allah has told you in Mata or Kutila. Allah from Allah, Akabiku. Anas bin Malik Rabi Allah, he said, that was the darkest day in Medina. Just like the most bright day in Medina was the day the Prophet came into Medina. But when Abu Bakr made this statement, he was saying, Man Sayyidina Muhammad Nu Aba Ahadi. Everybody was reading the past. I think it was that day that it was revealed. But Allah said that if the Prophet died, are you going to turn away your backs away from Islam? And Allah was saying that the Prophet will die. So he has died. So if you think you are worshipping the Prophet Muhammad, oh sorry, your Lord is dead. So it is Allah you worship. Allah is Hayyun La Yamut, ever living, never dying. So this deen is complete. Al-Imam al-Shawqani, Muhammad Ali al-Shawqani, Ali rahmatullah, when he was explaining things related to this verse, he said, Ali rahmatullah, he says, فَإِذَا كَانَ اللَّهُ قَدْ أَكْمَلَ دِينَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَقْبِضَ نَبِيَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. If it is that Allah had completed his religion, even before he took away, he killed his messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Some people don't like us to say that Prophet died. Prophet died. Prophet is dead and you will not rise up again, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah said to him, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ, surely you will die, O Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. وَإِنَّهُ مَيِّتٌ, نُوزُ أَبِيذِيَ فَيَوَ, you will soon die, that too will die. And he said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, everyone will die. So, Sufiya, they don't like people to say, Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he will not come up to this dunya until the day of Qiyamah. So Imam al-Shawqani alayhi rahmatullah said, إِنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ قَدْ أَكْمَلَ دِينَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَقْبِضَ نَبِيَّهُ. Whereupon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had completed his religion before he took the life of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, فَمَا مَا هَذَا الرَّأْيُ الَّذِي أَحْدَثَهُ أَهْلُهُ. What then is this ra'y? This opinion, opinionated position, just opinion, not anything. What is this ra'i? What is this? You want to say common sense, but it's not common. What is this thinking? Good. What is this thinking that people are now bringing? Since the deen had completed before Allah took his messenger. He says, مَا هَذَا الرَّأْيُ الَّذِي أَحْدَثَهُ أَهْلُهُ. What are these new reasoning that people now start to bring? He says, considering the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed his religion before he said that. He says, هَذَا أَنْ أَكْمَلَ اللَّهُ دِينَهُ. Since Allah has completed his deen, what other reasoning are you bringing again? Hey, it's good that Muslims converge every Sunday. When we converse every Sunday, we should wear white clothes. And we should come with a book like Hymns Ancient and Modern. You know Hymns Ancient and Modern? You know Hymns? You don't know Hymns? Alhamdulillah that you don't know it. So then let me tell you what Hymns Ancient and Modern is. So they come there with a Hymns, a book of prayer songs like Kufa, carrying Tasbih. Also like Kufa, it is not known in Islam. Carrying is in the count, Subha, it's not known. With white clothes, white turban, white everything, white shoe, white belt. If it is black, they paint it white. It must be white. So they come and start asking Allah. Imam al-Shawqani is asking Ali rahmatullah, what is this? What is this about? Since the deen is complete. He says, alayhi rahmatullah. He says, إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الدِّينِ فِيكَ إِتِقَادِهِمْ. If what they are saying is that in their own belief, what they are doing, if their reasoning is from Islam, فَهُوَ لَمْ يَكْمُلْ إِنْدَهُمْ. What it means is that the deen has not completed. إِلَّا بِرَأِيهِمْ هَذَا. Is that what it means is that the deen is not completed except with this their thinking, with this their salatu. The deen is not completed. It says, وَهَذَا فِيهِ رَدٌ لِلْقُرْآنِ. And this contains some are obliterating the rulings of the Quran. The rule of the Quran says the deen is complete. You say, no, the deen is not complete until you go to Asalatu on Sunday. So if you say that, you are saying that the Quran is not correct, because the Quran says, Akmaltu lakum deenakum, I have completed your religion. So you say, no, the religion is not complete until we do the Asalatu. You are saying that the deen is not complete. He lied in the Quran. Allah Mustafa. He says, وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ. If you not say, oh, but what you are doing is not from deen. He says, فَأَيُّ فَاعِدَةٍ فِلِشْتِ غَالِ بِمَا لَيْسَ مِنَ الدِّينِ. So what is the benefit from getting busy with something that is not from Islam? أَحْلَاهُمَا مُرْ. Both of them are, they are both what? They are both what? مُرْ. Bitter. He says, if you say the thing is from Islam, he said, ah, you are saying that Islam is not complete before the Prophet died, because this one, Prophet did not do a salat on Sunday. But if you are saying that, no, it is from Islam, what if he says it's not Islam, then why are you getting busy with it? What's the fa'ida? He says, from al-fa'ida to finish the gali bima laysa min ad-deen. What is the fa'ida? What is the benefit in getting busy with something that is not from Islam? Allah. That statement is in the book Al-Qawl al-Mufid by Imam Muhammad Ali al-Shawqani. Also, Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid al-Halabi has mentioned it in his book Ilmu Usul al-Bid'ah. Also, from the evidences that the deen is complete, one of the Prophet's companions, radiallahu anhu, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, he said, "Taratna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Prophet left us, alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمَا طَائِرٌ يُقَلِّبُ جَنَاحَيْهِ فِي الْهَوَىٰ. There is no bird that swings its feathers in the horizon. No bird swings its feathers in the horizon. إِلَّا وَهُوَ يَذْكُرْ لَنَا مِنْهُ عِلْمًا. Except that the Prophet will mention some knowledge, surah, from it. If a bird flies like this, if there's a learning, there's a knowledge we need to benefit from the bird, he will tell us, alayhi salatu wasalam. So when there is practice, we say this is what to do when there is practice. No religion knows that. No religion knows that. When there is practice, there's something to do, you say, oh, the king's son died, the prophet said nobody died. It is from the science of Allah. Go and make salatullah kusuf. Even kusuf. Even how to urinate, even how to use the toilet. Say, no bad for you. Except that if there is something we will gain from it, we tell us. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, so the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. He wanted to quote the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, مَا بَكِيَ شَيْءٌ يُقَرِّبُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَيُبَعِدُ مِنَ النَّارِ إِلَّا وَقَدْ بُجِّنَ لَكُمْ. The Prophet said, alayhi salam, مَا بَكِيَ شَيْءٌ. Nothing is left. يُقَرِّبُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. That can take somebody to al-jannah. وَيُقَعِدُ مِنَ النَّارِ. And take you away from the fire. إِلَّا وَقَدْ بُيِّنَ لَكُمْ. Except that it has been explained to you. There is nothing that can take you to al-jannah. There is nothing that can make you be distanced from the fire. Except that it has been explained. How is that? Muslims are God. They are the most lucky people. They have been told that don't worry. Don't worry yourself. Everything you need to enter Al-Jannah, the explanation is there. Everything for you not to get into the fire, you have the explanation. And that's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, people should act and tell them. Anyone who finds in his deeds on the day of Qiyamah, what by which Allah puts him into Al-Jannah, let him thank Allah. Anyone who finds other than that, let him not blame anyone except himself. So anyone who misses Al-Jannah, let him not blame yourself. If everything has been explained, that new thinking that people bring, say, oh, it's from Islam, where is it from this one that Prophet said, if it's from it, yeah, if it's not from it, it cannot do other than bring people closer to the fire. If it's not from it, what Prophet has said will take you away from the fire and bring you close to Al-Jannah. Somebody brings something, the best it will do is to take the person to the fire. That's the best it will do. The best it will do is fire. Whenever he ends that hadith, we'll come back to it that he said, وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. So the deen is complete, and we are lucky to have been from that deen. And that's why the eminent companion of Allah's Messenger, رضي الله عنه عبد الله بن مسعود, he said, اتبعوا ولا تبتدعوا وقد كفيتم. اتبعوا, just be following. Muslims, you don't have. Just follow. Follow, yes. Now we, please. اتبعوا, follow. ولا تبتدعوا, don't innovate. Don't start anything new. وقد كفيتم, you have been sufficed. All you need has been provided. Next doctor goes into the surgery room. Everything he needs is provided. He leaves the woman and goes out, or he leaves the man and goes out, looking for, I need, just at least, it's possible that I need it. The guy is looking for all of what he thinks he needs, while actually all he needs has been provided. The person dies. Is that not from the levels of responsibility? So that is what it will be. The thing a Muslim needs is provided in his deen. So why does he, what is he looking for? Left, right, center. You know, this Christian, they used to do so certain things. They used to, that's why the Christian, which Christian? The same thing inside Islam, looking what? Allah said so, Prophet said so, you are saying some good. That's why those Christians used to do so. So what? People who will end up in Jahannam, if they don't defend. So Islam is complete. From the benefits of this hadith also, that the Imam Tuhi had mentioned this. He said, وَمَفْهُومُهُ أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُ الشَّرْعِ فَهُوَ صَحِيحٌ. وَمَفْهُومُهُ أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُ الشَّرْعِ فَهُوَ صَحِيحٌ. The Alim said, عَلَيْهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ, that what it also means, this hadith means that anyone who does any work acting upon the instructions of Islam thereby, then the action is a correct action. Do you understand? He says anyone who does something that does not have authority, he says it is obliterated, it should be rejected. It means anyone who has acted upon something that has authority, it will be what? Accepted. The action is a good action. But whether he will be, it will be rewarded, it's a function of the first hadith we read. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. So the action will be good, will be qualified for being good if it is in line with the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. If it is from what the Prophet had described عليه الصلاة والسلام. But it will be qualified to take rewards if it is in line with the first hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ. Also from the benefit of this hadith, because we have talked about niyat now, is that someone is sincere does not corroborate the rightness, does not indicate in any way the rightness of an action. It's sincere effort. Why are you criticizing a sincere effort? Sincere effort, bad action. Allah will not accept it. Why you say that the action is bad? It is bad because it is not in line with the Prophet's Sunnah. And he has said if it is not in line with his Sunnah, it is what? Mardud. So these two things, they go hand in hand. The fact that an action must be sincere, and the fact that the action must be in line with the Sunnah. Do we understand? If it is not in line, that is just wasting his time, wallahi. At the time of Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, Imam Dar al-Hijra, someone wanted to perform Hajj. He said, please Imam, where did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take his ihram? Where you make the consecration for Hajj? That is, you take off the wrapper and the women still wear their clothes and they are free from there to unveil their faces when they are within the women. The make two accounts of Nafil, Tahiyyat al-Masjid. It's not the two accounts of the Nafil, of Nawafil at Miqat. It's not
a part of what taking ihram includes. It's just tahiyyat al-masjid. That he did. Allahu Akbar. So the person was asking Imam Ahmad, from where should I take, did the Prophet take ihram? Where did the Prophet take ihram? He says, Zulhulaifa. Zulhulaifa is about 3 kilometers, Allahu Alam, to the outskirts of Makkah on the outskirts of Medina on the road to Makkah. So he told him, say, Zulhulaifa. He said, Zulhulaifa. I said, yes. I will take my own ihram right inside the Prophet's masjid. The person told Imam Malik. The Prophet took his own ihram from Zululayfa. He means closer to Allah now. We should take some more distance. Because in his thinking, he thinks that the farther you are from the Miqat, the better. He didn't know that the more fanatic it is, the better. The more in followership of the Prophet it is, the better. He thinks that the farther. He told that Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah, me, I will take ihram from the Prophet's gravesite inside Masjid al-Nabawi, near where the Prophet was buried. That's where I'm going to start. Imam Malik said alayhi rahmatullah, he says, wa ayu fitnatin ta'zamu min antara annaka sabaqta ila fadilatin kaffara anha rasulullah islam. I have not known any fitna that is greater than you thinking that you want to attain a virtue that the Prophet did not attain. You know, by his thinking, the Prophet started from a shorter place to Makkah. He wants to start from a longer to get more reward. So Imam Malik said, I don't know the fitna that is as great as you thinking that you want to earn more reward for the same action more than the Prophet. It's a fitna for you. To think like that. He said, Rahimahullah. He means, Sami'tu Allah yaqul. I heard Allah say, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let those who act in negation, act in the opposite of the Prophet's instruction, let them beware. Allah says so. فَلْيَحْذَرِ take time over. And to see Bahum Fitna, that they are not afflicted by trials and tribulations. How you see Bahum Azabun Ali, or that they are encapsulated in severe torments on the day of Qiyamah. So Imam Malik told him that extra you want to put is extra fitna for you. It's not reward, it is extra fitna you will get. Like someone, like Imam Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, was in the masjid. Someone finished Salat to Subhi. He started making a long. He said, which one is this one? And they said, we want to be close to Allah. I said, you will not be close to Allah. Rather, what you get from it is Allah's punishment. That's why you are acting against the Prophet. So they did not take lightly at all, those who came before us, acting against the Prophet's instruction. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that man who wanted to take a longer distance, is he not sincere? He wants to please Allah. That's why Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, "Kam min muridin lil khair lam yablughu." How many times someone intends good but he never attained the good? He intended good but he never attained it. So that man, at least I was sincere. It does not suffice. The action too must be the right action. And it cannot be right except it is in line with the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, إِنِّي تَرَبْتُكُمْ عَلَى مَحَجَّةٍ لَيْلُهَا أَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ أَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكُمْ. I have left you on a pure path. The path that I left you is pure. لَا يَزِيغُ أَنْهَا. No one just goes away from this path. إِلَّا هَالِكُ. Except the one who is destroyed. You just go on the path. Don't move. Don't turn left and right. Hey, let me check here. Let me go on the path. Because that one that you want to bring in, Allah will not accept it. You need to your misguidance. We ask Allah's refuge from this. He says again, Subhanahu alayhi salatu wasalam, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu huwa radd." He says in another word in the hadith, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna huwa radd." Anyone who does any act, anyone who does any act
anyone who does any act. We are coming back to that. Let's not go that to that now. So how does it come? Man ahdathas, how does this start? How does this innovation, introducing something, how does it come? Vis-a-vis the religion itself, it comes in two ways. The first way is that someone introduces something that does not have any basis in the Sharia at all. This one is referred to as al-bid'atul hakikiya. How does it happen? He says, on the first day of Muharram, let's be going to eat. Eat? Yeah. You know, it doesn't have any basis at all. No basis at all. First day of Muharram. At least you know, their own first New Year. As Christians are taking New Year, we should have more holidays. Muslims, what are you saying? Are you weak Muslims? Then, I feel you should be able to stand for the right. It is not right. Allah didn't give you that. So, if someone innovates going for Eid prayers the first day of Muharram, it's from the matter of Bid'atun Hakikiyah. That is an innovation that is purely in an innovation. No basis whatsoever. The second way it can come is something has a basis, but not in the way that the person has done it. He says, Salatul Subhi, for example, is 3 rakats. You know, Salatul Subhi is established, is it not? Is it 3 rakats? So it's different from the first. The first one, no basis at all. The second one, there is basis, but not like that. So the second one is referred to as Al-Bid'atul Idafiyah. It is idafiya, it is connected to something that has basis. The other one is connected to zero. It is 1 million times zero. Or is there 1 million times zero, zero, we say? Zero. So all of it is zero. So the first one did out in Al-Bid'atul Hakikiyah. Original, pure innovation. The second one is what? Idafiyah. It is connected to something that has a basis. Someone goes to Hajj. You know there is Tawaf. Tawaf is established. Whether it is Tawaf al-Qudum, the Tawaf that someone who wants to make Hajj al-Tamattu makes. So, or whether it is Tawaf al-Ifada, or the Tawaf that someone who is making Hajj, of course, Hajj al-Tamattu or whichever, he comes to make on Yawm al-Nahar. Or it is Tawaf al-Wida. It is tawaf of bye-bye, I'm going back to my country. All of these tawaf, we have basis in the Sharia. Or it is tawaf, nafila faqat. It's just supererogatory, recommended supererogatory tawaf. So tawaf is established in the Sharia. So someone says, instead of making the tawaf in the anti-clockwise manner, the person makes tawaf in the clockwise manner. So he's making tawaf al-ifada, or tawaf al-kudum, or tawaf al-wida. He's making it and or tawaf nafila itself. Instead of making it clockwisely, he's now making it what? Anti-clockwisely. It is bid'atun idafiyah. You know why it is idafiyah? Tawaf has basis. Tawaf al-ifada has basis. Or kudum, or wida. But that is not how it is made. Do we understand? Okay, let people come and perform in Tahajjud in mosque so every Friday. Tahajjud has basis in the Sharia, does it not? But is there a basis that it should be on so day? Tahajjud, especially Friday? No. And is it established that the companions used to announce after Ramadan that people should come and perform Tahajjud together? In the masjid, all the words are important. People can perform tahajjud together if, for example, they're in home. There's somebody who knows to read the Quran very well. A man leaves his family, there's no problem. A brother visits you, You start covering the Ali, next we do and join you, there is no problem. The rest of the Yaman did that to the Prophet Muhammad. And others, Ibn Abbas, did that. No problem. The number of companions also did it. About 6 of them. Miriwayat, Allahu Akbar. No problem. But, brother, so they let me see more, so and so. That one does not have a basis. So, you see, that is what did happen? It does. Yes, the Tahajjud is established, one. Two, Tahajjud in congregation is established, but not like that. Just like the one who makes the offering a father, instead of going anti-clockwise, he goes clockwise. So we say that is bid'atun idafiyya. It says you have a child, slaughter shat, if it's shatan for a male child, and shat for a female child, shat. So the person slaughters an eagle, a camel, say, ah, I am the Rajini of Jamaat or anything. People will call me, instead of slaughtering a shot is sheep or ram. Sheep or ram. One of the scholars, Sheikh Al-Albani, was asked, is it permissible to slaughter a goat, the goat that we know, goat? He said, if the goat falls into the class of shot, yes. If it does not fall into the class of shot, no. Do we understand? So now, if someone goes and carries a camel, clearly not from shaft. Clearly not from shaft. Class. And he slaughters it. We say, you never kill ram for your tikkun. You have to kill it again. So that innovation, because it has to do with something that the act of worship, yes, the act of worship is right. But what you use is not what you should use. It is also an innovation that is what idafiyya. To slaughter an animal when you have a child, yes, but not this one that you have slaughtered. I hope it is clear. So these are the two ways. Ima is come in a way that basically does not have any basis at all, or it comes in a way that it has a basis, but not the way that basis is established. The person is doing it in another way that the basis is established. All of it is overrun. Because that way that he has done it, who taught him like that? Iblis? Is it the Prophet who taught him? It can't be. What the Prophet told is known and established. And he said, like he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma baqiya shay'un, nothing is left that can take you to Al-Jannah. If that one can take you to Al-Jannah, you think so? That if you slaughter a camel, it's better it can take you to Al-Jannah. And the Prophet has not taught us that can take us to Al-Jannah. What you are saying is that Prophet lied, A'udhu Billah. For saying that all he has taught us is suffice for Al-Jannah. So, let's quickly give another example. Do the companions used to gather in the day in the house of a dead 3 days? Did the Prophet ﷺ used to gather 3 days? Every 3 days, if a companion died, we'll go and gather in the house. Today used to gather. Did he say we should gather? Gather. When I say gather, I mean gather. I'm not talking about the bridge. Who be this gather? That's not what I'm saying. What I mean is gathering, coming together of the people. That, like Abdullah al-Badali, he said, one of the companions, kunna ra'ayna al-ijtima' inna ahli al-mayyit min al-riyaha. We, the companions, the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we consider gathering in the house of the person someone died, the deceased. Gathering in the house, we consider that what mimman niyaha is from weeping and shouting and gripping oneself that we start of it. So don't gather in people's house. Gathering in terms of agreeing to gather. Gathering can come about, you come your own, I come my own. What we are doing here, we agree to meet here. If you agree to meet like that in the house of the dead, it's an innovation. But you come your own, I come my own, we gather. That's not my elevation. You come to make the Azia.
Hey, sorry, oh. Yeah.
The brother was nice, so. You come your own, this one come his own, this one come his own, and you finish and go away, no problem. But please, next tomorrow is the third day of the death of Malam Fulan Ibn Fulan. Let's not forget, inshallah, may Allah make it easy. And may Allah make it easy. So, then the eighth day, today is the eighth day. Then the 40th day. Some tribes have a belief about 40 days. They believe that at the 40th day, the dead body changes position. Dead body changes position. Allah understand. No dead body changes any position. So no 40 days, no 8 days, no 3 days. And if one, in the Sharia, there's no limit to where you can make Tazia. Nobody says you must go to somebody's house, to make Tazia. Make Tazia anywhere you find the person. If you see him in the market, make Tazia to him. If you see me anywhere, some people say, if you come to make Tazia in my house, must he come to your house? There is no evidence that say he must come. If you say he must come, we show what you are saying is what he did as soon as he does here. Yes, Tazia is established, but it's not established that it must be like this. If you want to say it must be like this, you are starting another religion. Al-Imam Shafi'i alayhi rahmatullah. He says, man istahsana faqad shara'a. Anyone who's saying to people, this is what you must do, this is what you must do about a matter, he is starting another religion. Go and look for this, no evidence. Some people do innovation because they are abusing the people of innovation. So they substitute. Instead of the people being the people who did the innovation, they want to be the one who did the innovation. Do you understand? There are some people who do an innovation. You don't like that they are the one who did the innovation. You want yourself to be the one that did the innovation. So you pursue them and you come and do the innovation. They say people used to gather in the dead body's house in 8 days or 3 days. So that those people will knock on, they say, we will now do what? Who send you the what? The what? Yeah, who send you? Do you understand? 8 days, yeah, it's not established in the Sharia. But we don't want people of Bida to come. So we are the one, today we are the one. Now we'll find the army in Bida. Allah understand. So you stand in for the people of innovation for that 8 days. So instead of the people coming to do their Bidia and carrying the bodies of their Bidia, you help them carry the body by coming to do what? The question is, this was, what is the evidence that go and be doing what? Go and sit down talking in the house, gathering and then talking. Because when you say you want to do what in there, let's meet there, you have contradicted that hadith. Ra'ayna al-ijtima, we consider gathering in their house as part of niyaha. You contradict any hadith 1, 2, you don't have any basis for what you're doing. Agreeing to meet there does not have any basis. When you go there, start doing what? Hey, does not have any basis. The worst one are those who go there to collect the money from the people of the world. Those ones are the real ones in front of the innovation. And they are from the court. Because innovation needs someone to fall into a court of the messenger. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, man ahdatha mufatan, aw awa mufata, wa la'anatullahi alayhi, wa al-malaikati, wa al-nasi ajma'in. Anyone who innovates any matter or supports it, not only innovating it, awa mufata, one of the meanings of this hadith. Because awa mufata is also to aid someone who is committing a sin. Someone commits zina now, you hide him in your house. When the authority want to take the Sharia punishment and you hide him, it's from Awam the class. But Awam the class also means supporting innovation. So anyone who innovates or supports innovation, he says, La'anatullahi alayhi. Allah, the Prophet said, the curse of Allah be upon him. One malaikati. The cause of the angels be upon him. One nasi ajma'in. The cause of all of people who make us is be upon the person.
You don't think that it's something good that you are doing. May Allah save us from innovation. So all these, the evidences for saying them, they are contained in this hadith. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa radd. He said also, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa radd. So this hadith will be coming. It is applicable to about everything in Islam. It is applicable to the matters of belief. It is applicable to matters of ibadah. It is applicable to matters of mu'amala. And it will take the ruling accordingly. Do you understand? Allah says, He is Sami'un Basir. He hears and He sees. So that is the sunnah. That is ma fi amrina. What is in our, what we have authority, what is in our deen. Someone says, you see that thing, it is not seen actually, it's not that Allah sees. The thing is not seen, His light is seen everywhere. So he makes ta'wil. This ta'wil is an innovation because it is from the a'mal. Don't forget, from a'mal is what? Speeches. Speeches are from actions. So that statement and belief that we have, that Allah does not hear Uzzilah, does not speak, it's an innovation. But that innovation affects the Aqidah, affects the creed. It is from those things that are referred to Bid'atun Mukaffira. That act is an act of kufr. But if the bid'ah is an innovation that has to do with worship, maybe in his sujood or in his ruku', he is saying an adhkar, a zikr, like saying alhamdulillah, reciting Surah Al-Fatiha in ruku' or sujood. We say that innovation is not mukaffira. Because it's something that has to do with ibadah. If it is an innovation that has to do with dealing with people, for example, it is prohibited to trade in exchange of gold and silver of the same kind. So, someone says, and we explain, we once explained riba nasiha. We also explain riba al-fadl. But it's an aspect of these riba that the items that are prohibited to be exchanged like that are listed. But take items. Don't add a ninth one. That it is also prohibited to exchange so and so like this. Like, someone has a Camry 1998. He needs Camry 2008. So he gives Camry 1998, two of it, and he takes one Camry 2008. There is no problem about that. But if he gives 2 kilograms of gold, of a kind of gold, for 1 kilogram of gold also, do you understand? So that exchange has problems. And we explained some of these details once. What we are saying is, there are some things the Sharia has listed, that these things are prohibited. Don't exchange goods like this. You now add to it. What you have added is bid'ah, but it's bid'ah that has to do with what? Mu'amala. So the three aspects of the deen, itikadat, ibadat, mu'amalat, the innovation that comes in them, we take the ruling of what the basis is. If the basis is mu'amala, the bid'ah is bid'ah related to mu'amala. If the basis is ibadah, is bid'ah related to ibadah. If the bid'ah is itikadiyah, it's bid'ah related to itikadiyah. Sometimes they can come and you have more than one of the three in play. Like in case someone prostrates for an idol. Prostrating for an idol is an innovation. If, for example, someone worships
someone in the grave in the thinking that that person is an incarnate of Allah. If you believe like that, you say firstly the innovation has affected Akida. So it is Kufuriya. Do you understand? Then his worshipping in the grave is also having to do with what? Ibadah. So you see more than one of the three is in play. So this would imply that not all the innovation makes someone become a kafir. Because not all the innovations have the same ruling. And they do not have the same ruling because they do not go all into the same forms of actions. Some go into mu'amala, some go into ibadah, some go into what? Itikadah. So they will take the ruling of where they have gone to, and they will take the ruling to the extent of their damage. I hope this is clear. It's usually the area where someone comes and says, anybody who uses spoon to eat, it's some innovation because the Prophet did not eat with the spoon. So that means the person is a kafir because every innovation is invariant. So anyone who eats with the spoon is a kafir. There are people who have that opinion. It's a wrong opinion. Very, very wrong opinion. There is something also that is also important. We are not talking much. You see the word bid'ah, bid'ah has not been very, very conversant. Very common with this hadith today. Because we are still coming into a hadith that discusses bid'ah itself, the hadith of Irbad ibn Sariyah. The Ibn Allah, we intend to discuss some matters of bid'ah, mention a lot of bid'ah issues. How do we recognize bid'ah? How do we deal with the people of bid'ah? How and when can we say this person is sahibul bid'ah, mubtadi? When can we say that regarding any person, inshallah? We will look at this in the future. But what we are trying to look at here is just trying to understand innovation and how they come. From where do they come? That's why we go back to the hadith again and again. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man ahdasa fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fa huwa radd. We mentioned some benefits. It means that the religion is complete. It also means that we need knowledge to know what is inside the religion so that you can run away from those things that are not from the religion. We need the knowledge of what is in the religion so that you will not be doing something that is not in the religion thinking that it is from the religion. So these hadiths and things like this, we must understand them. And the fact that the person does not know that it is not from the religion does not mean that the action will not be thrown away. What he has said is, man, anyone who does anything that does not have our authority. He didn't say except the one who is doing it ignorantly. He didn't say except the one who is sincere about it, sincerity. People hide under it so much to do a lot of innovation. At least he's sincere, he's sincerely committing error. He's a medical doctor, he's sincere, he wants to remove a child from the womb of a woman who is due for delivery, but he's cutting the eyes of the woman. Is the pregnancy in the eyes? But he's sincere. Huh? He's sincere. He wants to make a surgery to remove the child in the womb, but he's sincerely cutting the eyes of the woman. Sincere. Good action. No matter how the sincerity is. So these are just some of the basic matters we like to establish with Ibn Allah from this hadith that Aisha radiallahu anha has reported that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that man ahdasa fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fa huwa raddu. In another riwayah it said man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fa huwa raddu. Anyone who does any deed that does not have authority from us, the deed will be rejected. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. Perhaps there is one or two questions that we can try to give answers to. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
I want to know how best to
We have said it cannot be happening now until it is in line with the sunnah. Just bring this hadith. Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna wa huwa radd. It cannot be happening if it is not upon the command and authority of the messenger.
Allah. How can it be hasana? Are you saying that Allah is saying that whoever comes with something that the Prophet did not come with, he is a new prophet? Alam lahum shuraka shara'u lahum min ad-din ma lam ya'zan bihi Allah. Do they have those they associate with Allah who is giving them authority in the religion, something that Allah has not given them authority? So how can it be hasana when it does not have accolades, does not have a stamp of authority from Allah? How can it be hasana? And that's why it also refutes the rules on bid'ah, bid'atun hasana. Bid'ah, how can a bid'ah be hasana? Something that Allah is angry with. How can it be hasana? There is no hukm in it. So that's why in the hadith, the next hadith surah, if you read, it says, وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ. Every innovation. Just like this one says, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا. Anyone who does any act, any means any. So it can't be hasana. Because it does not have a reason. How can the person know that it is hasana? How do you know that it is hasana? You ask me, how do you know that it is hasana?
Like some people say, like you issue of Allah, they would say that it's a result of Muslims reflecting to another religion, that it's a way of converting them on Sunday so that they can also be...
So they are sincere. Just like the one who wants to take his ihram from the masjid, the Prophet's masjid in Medina, instead of going to Zul Hulayfa. Imam Malik told him that fitna will attack him. So we tell them to that fitna. How many, those people who have not become Christians, how well, how better has their Islam been? Those people in Nafsa, I think we should just put on the edge. How well have their Islam been? They are one of the worst hajj groups we have in Nigeria. One of the worst hajj groups we have in Nigeria is NAFTA. The first year, at least for 10 years now, I've been watching them closely. The first year, about 4 years ago, they have a camp. Our tent in Mina is the next tent after their tent. On the night of the day of on the night of the day of Arafah, the night of the Muhammad Kenya, and when they came back, they were reciting Kulu Allah. They say they have the Kulu Allah of enemy. They raise one leg up like idol worshiper. This Yazida was there. He went to him, he said, there was a soldier man with us. He was saying, man, this man started, I said, this is not Mina, this is not Nigeria. The thing was looking very odious. From the worst hajj groups, it's NAFTA. From the worst hajj group is NAFTA, I say it again. From the worst, they hardly do anything right in hajj. They go to Arafah before the day of Arafah. They leave Arafah before the time of Ghurub. They do anything they like. NAFTA, how well have their Islam been? And most of those believers are ignorant people. There's no any apology. So we should do things rightly. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah will only, he says, at the end of the verses in Suratul, is it Kaf or Maryam? He says, did I tell you from those who are from the worst of those who do something? أَنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَعًا. If I tell you from the worst of users, they are those who, their actions are bad actions. They're thinking that they are helping Muslims not to become Christians. Lacking, they are upon the lala, misguidance. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَعًا. They are thinking that they are doing the right thing. The Quran makes us understand, people like that are the worst users. So what Islam says is, كُلُّكُلُّ فِي سِلْمِ كَافَةً. Come into Islam completely. Nobody is saying that all the Muslims can be equal. Let it be that what you encourage the people to do is what Allah and His Messenger encourage them to do. Now you leave the people on their own individual failure. You don't bring them to failure as a group. Do we understand? You tell the people the right thing and leave them to their own individual human inadequacies. You don't bring them to inadequacy established. You don't establish inadequacy for people. That is an establishment of inadequacy. And it cannot be Islam. That's how our rights they were. Of course, they were right. So if it is not Islam, it can never be Islam. One of the prior predecessors was rejecting even when there is an offer from one of the freed slaves of Aisha radiallahu anha that he used to read the Quran in Taraweeh looking at the Mus'haf. What I want to say is, when one of the prior predecessors from among the companions, if I'm not mistaken, if this report is in Al-Itikab by Al-Imam Al-Marwazi, was condemning it. He said to be reading the Quran in Tahajjud, standing, looking at the Quran, he's behaving like a Christian. They are the ones who hymn their songs in worship, looking at their books. So that we say they wear clothes and looking like Allah is not strange. So it can't be right, it's wrong. People should establish what is right for the people. Most of those people who are in that part, many of them would have done things that are right if their leaders made them know things that are right. Wallahi, most of those mamas, you see them, they'll be asking us, ah, this is what should we do? If you explain to them, you say, ah, but our leader says so and so. That does not mean Allah will see us. So it's a very dangerous thing, Allahu A'lam. Now, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
May I ask you something? This thing is very common now. Sometimes we challenge them. Like this issue of Salam on Sunday. When you challenge some of them, they will say, they will equate it to what we are doing now, that they are doing there
to do what?
Speak knowledge.
They are not learning anything in that part.
No, I'm not even talking about that, but like some of the other ones.
Like what?
We don't meet on Sundays for Salah.
We can cancel this one. The reason why I said what I said is there is no anything that is specific about our having to sit down except that learn, and this is the time that I am free for me. When the brothers can say, okay, I'll be free on Sundays, they are not doing it as a means of worship to gather on Sundays itself. It's not a means of seeking Allah's pleasure. What we seek Allah's pleasure with in sitting here is what you hear. Allah say, Prophet say. So people like, if you go to Sahih Bukhari, Kitab al-Ilm, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud chose every Thursday. Ibn Mas'ud, he chose Thursday. When the women complained to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he chose give them 2 days in the week, is it? So to choose a day for Ta'aleem, it has a basis in the Sharia. It can be any day. What if we have chosen any day, if we have chosen any day, is an indication that we can choose any day we see. And if we also choose a day that the day we'll be doing Ta'aleem is Sunday, good. Like, the day we'll be doing Masalatu is Sunday, Masalatu, so once you say Asalat, they'll be telling you that in Allah, Allah, Katahu, Yusalluna, Allah, Nabi, Yahweh, Nabina, Amanu, Salu, so from there they pick Asalatu. So you call everybody and you're asking, Allahumma sali, you have problems. So the day to do Allahumma sali is Sunday. That is problematic. Because the one who has established Allahumma sali has not established that it should be done on Sunday. Or that it should be specified for any day. But the Rusul Ilmiya, there are evidences in Bukhari that we have mentioned, it can be any day. Do you understand? So, it's like what people are doing. It does not justify what they do. But people do it. Does it justify what they do? In fact, Allah says, into two experiments will add the look and stability. If it is what people are doing, you want to follow, they will mislead you. Look back into the text. When we want to give evidence now, we don't say we are giving evidence because at least all the scholars are doing it. No, not to consensus with those ones. The consensus is what is established from the Prophet and the companions. We chose any day, the companions chose any day. So we chose any day. That's why I say when the spoke, I can tell you now, the day that can be free is Monday. I have to last to see me. If you can come, good. If you can't, alhamdulillah. That's the day that I am free. I can say on Thursday, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock in the morning. So we will not go to Peter. so now alaykum assalam. Wait. So let's know the evidence. Someone asked you, why do you do your durus on Sunday? Say, because that is the day they are free. And as far as learning is concerned in the Sharia, you can choose any day. What is the evidence? It's in Sahih Bukhari. If you go back, go and look Sahih Bukhari in English. You see these narrations there. The Masood chose 12 days. The Prophet chose any other 2 days. I think it was Mondays and Tuesdays or what. He chose 2 days in the week. Now, Thursday too. You can decide, okay, to be more fanatic, we choose Thursday. So others chose other days that it was free, that it was easy for them. So that's no problem with that. But restricting a particular worship, Tahajjud, Asalati, and all this remembrance of Allah to particular days and gathering people for that purpose, it does not have any basis in the Sharia.
Alaykum salam.
The companions used to gather on 8 days. They should bring it now. If you are not the one who established the bidah, you have supported the bidah. And the cost is upon the one who established it and the one who supports it.
So
alaykum salam. Is it from the restricted practices of the Prophet that he married Aisha when she was 6 years old? No, it is not. One of the companions, Qudama ibn Maz'un and Uthman ibn Maz'un, they are two brothers. Uthman died before Qudama. He married a day old girl. This is authentic. When the girl was born, he went to the father, marry this girl to me. He said, this mother said yes. If I die, she will inherit me. If she grows, she will be my wife. She grows up, keep me alive, she's my wife. If I die before she grows up, she will inherit me. They are married. Abdullah ibn Omar married a woman to his, I think, a weak old boy. Abdullah ibn Omar married a woman to his weak old boy. She can be done for a girl, can be done for a boy. You can marry a young lady for your son. They are established in the narrations. Last time we were telling us that between Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As and Amr ibn al-As is 9 years, some say 11. 9 years between father and son, the two of them, they are companions. And the father used to warn the son, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, a tabi abaka, fool your father, okay, because your age is close by. 11 years between father and son, they never joked with the mama. No BSC, the bad thing. All right, tell you. He did not stop anything, and they are from the most learned of human beings history ever produced. He doesn't stop learning. So if the people are supported, they will learn in those circumstances. They learn. Aisha learns. Others learn. Abdullah ibn Abdul Al-Aq is from the most learned in history of Islam. The children of Abdullah ibn Omar were from the most learned too. There are many of those incidences in the history of Islam. Many. So it's not from the Khususiyat of Rasul alayhi salam. Alaykum salam. Let him finish his question. He's in charge.
Can it be possible for one to get married to a sister not really of that age and maybe not
it's permissible from that hadith of Aisha, but it must be with agreement with the father of the girl. That's what one of the scholars said, Sheikh Al-Albani specifically. He said, if the father of the girl agrees, okay, marry my daughter, the girl is matured, the man is matured, maybe they are both HND holders. Hey, don't worry, marry my daughter. He said, I won't be coming to my house, no problem, I don't mind. this your room, this place, anytime you can sit here, see her, no problem. You need some money, take. You're my son. There's nothing wrong in that. If many parents did this, their children will not become what you see on the street. Many parents do this, their children will not be what you see on the street. And the boy will be ever serious. Yeah, man, I have to struggle. I'm sorry, I shouldn't collect this money every time from you. So if you ask me, is there evidence that somebody can collect that? Because this problem has evidence. Yes, there is evidence. Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, was married Fatima by the Prophet Muhammad. Others came, but he had Ali in mind. And Ali grew inside his house. Ali is the last of that. He married Aisha, I married Fatima. Give Ali gifts. When slaves come and money come, Ali will tell Fatima, your papa don't get slaves and gifts. So Fatima will come to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Prophet, we need so and so and so. The ulama say it meant that if the girl's father has a lot of wealth, and the man knows that if the girl talks to his father, they can get something for themselves, but she can do that from this action of Ali. It's just a matter of understanding. Some people will not do that. They will send and then one day one useless guy to see impregnate to get the gun. And they go and ask me, please come and talk at least as if that you impregnate and tell me who will impregnate this useless girl. So the guy became useless now that he got her pregnant. In some places, people draw matters that if you, if I see you again, you useless father, you didn't take care of your daughter. You say that you are a useless man. If you had understood the girl and the boy, it would have been bad. There's another thing we are doing now that is bad. People say they are doing tardy. A man wants to marry a girl. He went to the father of the girl, I want to marry your daughter. He says, okay, every night they're coming. They start coming. They're meeting. And they sit under one shade, one dark place. The girl and the boy, he'll be talking. Tomorrow too, he will come. Next tomorrow, he will come. The following day, he will come. They'll be alone there. Alone. The third person is the police. By the time you know it, the third person is talking themselves. It's happening. It's happening. It's wrong too in the Sharia. If you know that this man is responsible to marry your daughter, why not marry the girl to him immediately? This is what we know in the Sharia. And if you know that his deen is not suitable for you, tell him to go away. But if his deen is suitable, don't deny him. If you deny him, you give your daughter trouble. If a man with deen, good deen, comes to you and says, marry your daughter to me, don't say no. If you say no, you are giving your daughter trouble. You know why? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إذا أتاكم من ترضون دينه وخلقه فزوجوا. If a man whose deen is okay and his morality is nice comes to you and says, this is your daughter, marry her to me. Zawiju, come on, marry the girl to him. The companions of the Lamb, they said, وَكَيْفَ إِنْ وَجَدْنَا فِيهِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. What is the messenger of Allah? We find that in him is kaza, like, maybe he's not handsome, maybe he doesn't have much money, maybe. We find in him, he says, that was you. Marry the girl to him. They repeated it again. Okay. Even when we find, yes, he's been his character, but at least he doesn't have a three-bedroom flat. He says, that was you. But I marry the girl to him. And in the Quran, he says, لَمْ تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَلِيمٌ. If you don't do that, expect fitna on earth and fasad, spoilage on earth. If you don't worry. The same guy, from Katina, the same guy. So the guy is from Ijabu, don't go ahead saying that. تَكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. Some people say the man is not from Kafa. Go ahead. So the Prophet has given the warning, alayhi salatu wa salam. إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرَدَّوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوُّجُوهُ إِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوهُ أَكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ فِي. This hadith is Hassan. It's from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Those who even say that it is Mawquf, that is Sahih, The Mosul could not accept this kind of thing, saying that there will be facade of these Arid on heart without marriage, except that he has something from the messenger to which he relies. So it has hukm al-raf. If you say it is mawkuf sahih, you say lahu hukm al-raf. If you say it is marfu' ilabah, then it's okay for us to make it silat. So this is where we stop today, inshallah. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته